even for us who are used to the cold. I don't know if you were watching television at all last night, but we were watching Welsh television and it showed some Australian youngsters, and they came across here to sing with a Welsh choir, and they'd never seen snow in their lives before. But it was the Welsh folk that were complaining of the cold. So we're a complaining nation, aren't we? I want to turn your attention just to a short passage of scripture this morning. It's found in Luke chapter 8, and it's verse 40 onwards. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude's throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I dare say for some of us it'll be a very familiar story. The woman who came and touched the hem of his garment. And yet it's remarkable that although I've read it so many times and I've probably preached on it umpteen times before, when I came to it this week again, I saw something that I had never, ever seen before. Or let's put it this way, it had never got my attention like it did this last week. You see, there are four things about this woman that make her stand out. But don't for a moment think that she was unique. She wasn't. It could well be that a number of us here this morning are in the same position as this woman was. Not necessarily physically, but in a way, we are all the same. There's a hymn that says, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but are the waters failed?" This woman, the first thing we notice about her, she had a problem. And that problem had existed for 12 years. And she was obviously a woman of some wealth. She was obviously a woman of some ability to move around and go from place to place. And people had recommended that she go and see this person and that person and the other person. I have someone that I know that he is forever telling other people what medication they need for their complaint. Needless to say, he doesn't take any of it himself, and he's not a doctor, But he's so busy telling other people to look what they should be doing, he forgets that he should be doing what the doctor tells him to do. But you see, there are people like this. There are people outside here, and maybe somebody in here this morning, you've got a problem, and you don't know what to do with it. And you're searching here, there, and everywhere to look for the answer to that problem. You see, we often, even if we're Christians, even if we say we love the Lord Jesus, even if we say we believe that he is able to do everything above what we ask or think, we're still quite busy trying to find the solution for ourselves. I work with a group of people, and I support a group of people who deal with people with problems, problems that seem insurmountable, problems of addiction, problems of getting into bad ways. And some of them try all sorts of things to get out of the problem that they've got, and they fail time and time and time again. And that was what was wrong with this woman. She tried everything. She went to all the doctors with all the great names. She didn't just stop at the GP. She went down the road to the registrar, and then the consultant, and then the professor, and she saw a lot of them. And they all failed to cure her disease. And I want to say to you this morning, dear friends, the world has got answers for all sorts of things. They've got answers out there for the problems with your children. They've got answers out there for problems with your finances. They've got things out there, people out there who say they can solve the problem of your health and all the rest of it. And all they're doing is tinkering. And they can't give you an answer. And that's what this woman found. The answers of the world were empty. Empty solutions. And I want to say to you this morning, this woman, having tried everything she could, found that there was no answers in anyone else. Have you been putting your trust in people? Don't they fail us? Talking to a friend of ours the other day, and she said, you know, the number of times I've helped this person and I've helped that person and I've done this, but it's all been thrown back in my face. Have you had that experience? Well, I want to tell you there's someone who'll never turn it back in your face. You see, dear friends, there is one person who can answer every single need that you have. Oh, wait a minute. Don't get me wrong. He will not give you all you want. He will give you what you need. You see, one day my son came to me and he said, "Dad, I want this." And I said, "Well, you don't need it, do you?" "No," he said, "I don't need it, but I want it." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, Father is not going to supply your wants. He's going to supply your needs, but not your wants." Because sometimes what we want is not what is good for us. You see, we can get taken away by the glamour of things. We can get taken away by the fact that other people have got this and other people have got that. For years, there's been a little corner in my kitchen which has cried out to me, said, do something about me. And that little corner in the kitchen was the boiler for the central heating. Now, I've had to pray over that boiler over the years because it's 38 years old this year. So you can tell how old it is. But, you know, praying about it didn't do anything, I thought. And then one day, at the beginning of this year, I'd been away for Christmas, and I came back home after Christmas and the New Year, and I picked up the post from behind the door, and I went, wow! There was a check behind the door for nearly £10,000. I thought, where's this come from? And then I read the letter that went with it after I checked the amount. The Isle of Man taxman had decided to pay me all my past tax for the last 4 years. So now I've got a new central heating boiler. You see how God meets our need? That boiler never broke down, only momentarily, all of the years we've been in the house. But when it was coming time for it to give up, God supplied the need. Not before. You see, this is the amazing thing. The ordinary things of life. God knows what we need. God understands. And this woman had tried everything. All ways round. But there's a second thing I notice about this woman. She was determined. She was not going to go down under this thing. She wasn't going to let it beat her. And you know, dear friends, this is quite amazing. When you think of it in these terms, that here was this woman, seriously ill, had been for 12 years, but she was still looking for an answer to the problem. And suddenly, perhaps somebody said something to her, perhaps she heard it. I don't know, we're not told how she came to know about Jesus, but she knew about Jesus and she said, here's someone who can meet my need. When everybody else has failed, someone here, he can meet my need. And so she went to where he was. And there was a crowd. I don't know whether you've ever been in a crowd, a really big crowd. I have on one occasion, and I felt claustrophobic. I can take you way back. It was in the old Cardiff Arms Park. I was there at a rugby match when Australia were playing Wales. I can even remember the name of the fullback for Australia, which is remarkable after all these years, because it was in the 1940s when I saw this match. And I can remember standing in the crowd and feeling the crowd go like that down the terraces, start to sway. And it was an awful feeling that you'd no control. And this woman saw the crowd. You might say to yourself, well, there's no crowd around me. Are you sure? Have you ever thought, perhaps this morning you've never ever committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've thought about it sometimes. You've thought about these two young folk are going to go through the waters of baptism. They made a decision. And they've followed up on that decision. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever made a decision or even thought about making a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And what's happened? Or the family, they come along and say, you don't want to do that. You don't want to get involved in that. That's being fanatical. Oh, it's all right, you can put a red shirt on with the Prince of Wales feathers on it, and you can go mad round Cardiff and all the rest of the Wales today, all up in London. That's all right, you can spend £100 to get to London to watch somebody kick around a bladder of wind. But don't decide for Jesus Christ. No, no, that's going too far. And then your friends say to you, well, hang on a minute. You're going to become a religious nut, are you? And you begin to listen to what they've got to say to you. They're the crowd that this woman had to get through. You see, she was determined. She wanted an answer. She wanted release. And if you this morning are in a position like that, then there's only one way forward. You've got to seek Jesus. This woman wasn't proud enough to say, I'll stand on my feet and push my way through. No, she turned aside her pride and everything else, and she got down on her knees and she crept through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Are you that determined to know Jesus Christ for yourself? Is it that important to you? Or are you going to be put off by the crowd? Are you going to be turned aside? This woman said, no. I need Jesus. And she went for it. It takes a strong person to be that determined to go all the way with Jesus. Because you're going to be one, an odd one out. You're going to be the one that stands out against the crowd. You're going to be the one person that when the flow of the river is going that way, you're going to swim against the flow of the river. You're going to be an awkward person in the workplace because you're going to say, I will not do that because that is against God's word. You're going to be the awkward person in your family because they all want to go here, there and everywhere. And you're saying, no, I want to be where God's people are. It takes guts. It takes strength. It takes determination and it takes courage to live for Jesus Christ. It takes courage to go through the waters of baptism. I've known young folk be thrown out of home because they followed the Lord Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And even today, people are suffering at the hands of their family. Family pressure, peer pressure, whatever it happens to be, because they want to follow Jesus. And this woman touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? Come on. You're in the middle of a crowd, a multitude, it says. And you say, who touched you? But I want to say this, dear friends. If all you've ever done is come to church and you haven't committed your life to Christ, you're like one of the crowd. You're like one of the crowd. You can touch Jesus, but no power goes from him into you. But when you come like this woman came, that touch of faith, that touch which says, Lord, save me. I need you. Then Jesus knows, and he will know immediately that you want to do business with him. And your life will change. and you'll know that God has touched you. And God has reached out to you. And he's lifting you up. That's the difference. There are hundreds today who are sitting in a church just like you and me. There are even preachers standing in the pulpit today who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. They've never touched him with that touch of faith. Oh, they know all about him. They've got all the knowledge. The people in the pew have gone there for years and years and years. Some of them, it feels like centuries that they've been in the church. And yet they've never touched Jesus. What a sad position. Are you one of those people? You know it up here, but it's never got down here. It doesn't consume you with a passion. It doesn't fill you with a love that says, I don't want anything else but Jesus. But you know, the most wonderful thing, and this is the thing I referred to right at the beginning, the most wonderful thing is that this woman was unique. She was unique. She was the only woman that Jesus addressed as he addressed her. And he said, daughter. He didn't call anybody else daughter. What a lovely picture. He took her from groveling on the ground to welcoming her into the family of God. What a beautiful picture. It's almost as if Jesus took her up and threw her his arms around her. When my daughter comes down from Frinton in Essex, the first thing she does when she walks through the door is throw her arms around me. She demonstrates her love. And Jesus, in speaking to this woman in this way, demonstrated that he loved her in a very special way. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. And I want to say to you this morning, if you've never, ever asked Jesus Christ into your life, then you have got something missing. You are not a whole person. And until you ask him into your life, you will remain like that. Part of you. It's said by one person who put it so succinctly, in everybody that is born, there is a God-shaped hole. And the only person who can fill that hole is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? I think it's lovely. When I looked and I received the email beginning of last week, to say there was a baptismal service. And then I got a follow-up email which said, the two folk are going to give their testimony and they're going to sing. Do you know it's important? A testimony is important. And if you haven't got one, then you don't know Jesus. A testimony is this. Not what I have done, but what God has done in me and through me. That's a testimony. And if you can't say that this morning, then, dear friends, you could never pass through the water of baptism and honestly mean it. Or you can go through the waters of baptism. Some churches, they do it just to be church members. But the real reason for going through these waters is to testify to everyone in this place that I have received Jesus Christ as my own personal Saviour, and I am going to follow him. And as you go down into the waters, you signify that you are dead to the old life. And when you come out of the water, you're walking in newness of life. And that's what it stands for. It doesn't do anything. It's the same old tap water that you wash your face in. It's what you believe as you go through that water. And that's what Jesus Christ wants you to do. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to be a shining example for him. He wants you to radiate his glory and his beauty and his love, that everybody you come in contact with says, I want what they've got. And for the two of you that are going through the waters of baptism, as you come out of the water, you don't need to say it out loud, but say it to him and mean it. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life, even though there will be hard times, there will be difficult times, but I'm going to follow you. And if this morning you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, in the quietness of your own heart, ask him in. Because to go see the couple go through the waters is lovely. But to know that because of it, someone has come to know Jesus as Saviour would be the crown in glory, both for them and for us. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
I've been going to the church for long, but every time I just, I'm happy when I'm singing with everyone in the church, but I know there's some emptiness in my heart as well. And for the last 9 months, God has introduced himself to me. And I know I will never be the same. I've known him to be not just our God, but our Father who loves me. I've made this decision to go through this baptism because I know finally I said, Lord, I am ready to commit my life to you. I am ready to commit my life to you all the days in my life. Because I've realized that I'm an imperfect person, loved by a perfect God. So there's nothing else that I can give to him but my life. The life that is given to us as well. So this song that I'm going to be singing, it's titled, Lord, I Offer My Life to You. Every word of it says what I want to tell our Lord. Thank you.
That I
God all be the glory. Amen. Thank you.
I've been coming to church ever since I can remember, but going to church didn't mean that I really understood what being a Christian was. 9 years ago, we moved to Langrum. And I started. And I started to come to Silo. Here is where I started to understand what the love of God really means, unconditional. Through seeing other people's faith, mine too grew stronger. My mom especially has taught me that having faith in God and trusting Him completely is the way to have peace in your heart, even through the tough times. In Sunday school, we went to an Ignite meeting for youth, and what the preacher said really spoke to me. It was weighing on my heart, and I knew that I had to do. On the 27th of November, 2011, I was in the living room watching TV, and my mum and I just told my mum that I was ready, and I gave my life to Christ. I bought a guitar when I was 14, and Dave started teaching me how to play. I was very shy about singing, and Nisia still tells me to sing louder. Little did I know that God was preparing me. When Nisha went on holiday for 6 weeks, I was really scared to lead and mess it up, but God gave me the strength and support from everyone here at Silo to be able to do it. I'm still young, but God has blessed me already in so many ways, and I am so thankful to be a part of the family here at Silo. A lot of people ask me what I want to be after I leave college, but I don't know, but I rely on God and trust in Him. And the verse in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I'm going to sing a song for you.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, the fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones who came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world in darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. For with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From lifeless cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.